laughing as I was singing. And already the flame of shame was starting to burn. And when I got off, there was a little clapping by some adults, but I could still hear the kids laughing. And I remember walking out of there and feeling this fire, this shame that burned me. The next little artist out there was the rag doll, and she was darling, and she had a rag doll dress and pigtails, and could she belt a song? And they loved her, and the audience clapped, and they stood in the lap, and the more they clapped, the more they loved her, the more did that fire of shame burn in me. It was like I could hardly face anybody after that. I was so ashamed of myself. But somewhere inside of me, there was a wise person that said, life will never take you like this. So I learned to act. And I fell into the world of pretend. And, oh God, how I wanted everyone to like me. How I wanted to be a part of life out there, everyone else, because I was really lonely as hell inside. I learned what good humor was, and I learned to be a good audience to it, more of work, and I learned to be kind to everybody because I wanted that kindness myself. I found out, you know, people like me around. You know, I had lots of friends, but no real friends, because I didn't know how to be intimate talking. I didn't know what to say. There was nothing in the head. And I wondered, how do people stand around and talk and chat? What do they say? Couldn't do it. Still hard for me today. Just chat. I went through life as this actress, pretending to be what I wasn't. I went to all these great teachers and stuff and floated right through this mind. I could not fill it with knowledge. Just yearning, am I still this bubblehead? Am I still this not knowing anything? What was nice is that people still liked me around. I was always a good audience. I was always racing around helping them, gathering people to have them come. And then one day, really it was in 1970, that whatever was to happen started to happen. It was like I was captured, abducted, seduced by the God. And I'm an innocent soul, so I didn't realize what was really happening, although I had studied some of Carl Jung's work. But, you know, it went through the head. I never really held it for my own. And of course, the parrot was when I first heard the words inside me, God loves you so. Well, you know, I didn't believe in God. I mean, that was a far off thing. And I remember being kind of nasty and saying, well, I don't even know what God is. I mean, you're going to pull this stuff on me again, all this God stuff. And it said, well, God was a singing of love. God, I fell for that. And I followed that. Because I, you know, love was the only thing I understood. I mean, not something in the head. It's not a gift. It's not a heart. You know, you just love. So I followed them. And oh, those tricksters, those gods, they left me on a merry chase. And yet it was so powerful that it broke something inside me, and I found out that I wasn't so dumb. They led me into many, many paths, wonderful, romantic, scary challenges, tests, many of them. And I found out that I really wasn't that cowardly person inside that I knew I was. And always, it was the thing of the love that held me. When I found out that God was love, and a Song of Love was the only way I could recognize him. When I went through the dark night of the soul, it was when I was dying and I found out even the gods couldn't help me. It was something I had to do myself. And the only words I muttered as I lay dying, and I knew I was that love conquers all. And as soon as I said that, it was like everything opened to me again, and everybody was happy. I had finally discovered a very small truth. Well, when I walked out of this, and believe me, it was 2 months of a trip of where my family, my friends, my teachers scared to death of me, my office, DuPont. You know, I blasted them. I didn't want to, but the force was moving so fast in me. And, you know, everybody's scared to death. But when I came out, okay, and I did, and all of a sudden I realized that there was a self in me that had been so scared, had been so hidden, so frightened of the world. And it was like, it was fun, too. I mean, there was a trickster, there was a comic in there. And I wanted to share it. I wanted to share it. Say, look, I'm just not as dumb as you think I am. And there is a trickster in me. There's a poet in me. There's a lover in me. There's all this stuff. And it was like everybody got scared. And they wanted me to be back to this nice, kind, safe, kindly person. The bubblehead that really didn't know a thing. And then I felt the same rejection, you know, that, you know, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that. Just be Carol again. Just be that nice. Well, so I started to close up again. And yet the door has been opened and you know you are fed this wonderful knowing. It was like, is this all there is? I mean, you know, and then you don't know anything. And I went back to work again and, you know, tried to be my old kind of fun, kindly self. But see, I knew there was more. It was just that. There must be more to life. So when I came here, Roger, because I wanted to be more intellectual, I wanted to know in my mind, you know, what I had discovered through my heart. And it was very hard to be forced to get up here to say something. And the only thing I could say was something that I had experienced, because otherwise I would be just quoting teachers or other people even. The amazing thing is that you didn't laugh, or you didn't tell me to shut up because I had to do it. Quite a door opening for me. But don't think that flame was still there, the fright of daring to do that. You know, it was such a big one that I haven't lost it yet. But anyway, what I found out in Roger's class is that all the wisdom that he taught me, I could understand it, you know. Still hadn't gotten it in the mind. I hadn't acquired knowledge and all that, but I knew exactly what he was talking about. And it was true. It was true in me, and that's all I can say, is that the truth was there. I had experienced it. And I have to thank you a great deal for that, for pushing me, you know, pushing me out of this frightened self. I remember when I heard Dan speaking about higher math and physics, and you know, I used to pass that by because I knew I couldn't do it. I couldn't understand it. The mind doesn't work. And then Roger, you said to me, I said, that's what I would like to know more about, that wonderful thing of called science and space, because I'm not adequate for it. And then Roger said to me, you can learn it. You can do it. And I said, could I? I don't know how to do it, but it's okay just having somebody say, you know, you can do it. Well, last week, I browsed through a magazine, and there was an article on the quantum leap. Now, beforehand, I would have packed that by real fast, and it still kind of scares guess what? It was on quantum physics, and I guess I read it, and it was called A Quantum Leap with David Bohm, B-O-H-M. I don't know if you know of him. Theoretical physicist investigating the tantalizing theory that all parts of the universe are fundamentally interconnected, forming an unbroken flowing whole. Means the arts, religions, everything is connected. And then when I read he was a maverick in science, I really liked him because I am a rebel, you know, inside me. And then he said, you see, I knew that. Another thing he said that I loved, he said, when you listen to someone else, whether you like it or not, what they say becomes part of you. And so I know that what I had been listening to these years is somewhere becoming part of me inside. And Mr. Bohm said that his realization came when he met Krishnamurti. It was always in his psyche. It was always in this thing that they're not scientists and doing it quite right. They're making it in separate particles. They're not realizing the religious, the spiritual part of it. And when he met Krishnamurti, it was like everything came together. And then they asked him, when did these things come to your attention? When did this thought start entering your being? And he said, when he was in fourth grade, he had to read an article on astronomy and the sciences. And the poem in the front piece was by Francis Bourdillon, B-O-U-R-D-I-L-L-O-N. And the poem is this, and of course, it is only in poetry that I have found a knowing that kind of reaches into me. And it says, the night has a thousand eyes, and the day but one. Yet the light of the bright world dies with the setting sun. And the mind has a thousand eyes, and the heart but one. Yet the life of a whole life dies when love is done.